Thank God for the privilege that we have. See, many of you we haven't seen in quite some time and have this privilege to be in a worship service together. Certainly, goes without saying, I trust you know it. I know these elders know it. Stand in need of your prayers. So thankful for the preaching by Brother Dickey, and certainly enjoyed that. Appreciate your hospitality, appreciate the invitation, and I certainly need your prayers this morning as we try to look into the Word of God. I have to approach the Scriptures from a practical, or a, for lack of a better expression, common sense. I'm not computer literate. I know very little about computers. I don't know how to converse with computer brainiacs. I know very little about that. It's been my privilege, and I have been so blessed to work in nature, and I have been blessed to learn so much from nature itself. And I realize that we've all kind of come out of the countries into the suburbs, the cities, and eyewitnesses of nature itself is something we don't see a lot. And when we see a young roe or something that's rarely seen, we just perk up. I saw a deer this morning. City, if you're in the city, it's really something that you see, something nature that catches your attention. So I have to approach things from this perspective. I've been blessed to work in the field of horticulture, and so have so enjoyed it and learned. Not that I know very much, but it has taught me tremendously to watch hands-on, visual, and there's very well one or more, many in here that has forgotten more about horticulture than I know. But I'd like to share with you for a few moments, some of the things that I trust that God has shown me from nature itself. And I believe that I could take an open-minded person into the nature and show him God is sovereign.
Amen.
Now, I realize God speaks in nature itself, and I've worn this one out at home. It's still one of my favorite verses or passages of Scripture when this psalmist David said in Psalms 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Now, city lights have blinded us to what's up there. City lights have seemingly blinded us to the declaration of God's glory. But blinded by city lights or not, they're still there and they're still declaring
That's right. The
glory of God, and they're still showing His handiwork. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day into day it utters speech, and night into night it showeth knowledge. Now, I was privileged to be in church in which I grew up in the area with some of the family that I grew up in, the little town which I grew up a couple of Sundays ago. And I was reminded of the times when I was a child. Rarely did we ever get to go to the city or go to the town. It was a big city then, but it was really nothing but a little town. And we would go to the get to go to the theater because my grandmother and grandfather lived in the little town. We'd get to go. Big sister was responsible for the little guys, us little guys. But back then, you really wasn't all that long ago, but back then, you walked up to a street corner and watched the light, and there was a little light over there, and it said, "Walk," and you knew it was your privilege to get to walk across the street, or if it said, "Stop."
Yeah.
But today, they have sign language. They show a man walking. Or they show a hand up there, "Stop." Now, this multicultural language, it speaks in every vocabulary. Because anybody can tell when a figure is walking across the street that's telling you can walk across the street, no matter what language you speak. God has been speaking in that kind of language since the beginning. From the very beginning. Day into day it utters speech, night into night it showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where his voice is not heard. It speaks in every dialect that there is in this world. Now, in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, do a little reading here, and I hope you'll pray for me. Yeah, the Lord himself is giving us, among the many, he's giving, well, first of all, in this, what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, or this 5, 6, and 7, he's preparing his disciples for kingdom life. But he gives them this warning in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And emphasizing again, this close together, I'd say it was important. Wherefore, by their fruits shall ye know them. He's warning God's people to be aware, to be able to recognize. Who's trying to dupe you and who's not. Now, in our little congregations, I can't say as that I've observed someone who I would think that was there to try to scatter the sheep or dupe the people. But our society, friends, our society is full of them. And there's plenty of them, and they're lucrative. They have the radio waves, they have the television waves, and I'm not calling names or pointing out. I'm just saying that they're real and they're there, and profitable it is for us to be able to recognize. Now, I have to again relate things to nature itself, and hope to make some doctrinal points because I think it's very important. But I want to make this point, emphasize this, because this is very touching to me. Have you noticed? I know you've noticed, but I want to emphasize that you know. Notice in the Scripture how everything that God's people are compared to in the Scripture, that we're compared to, God's children, has to have continual care. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
A sheep cannot be taken out into the field, turned loose, and left to himself. He has to have continual care. You cannot take a fruit tree, a fruit-bearing tree, you cannot take a fruit tree to the woods, plant it in the middle of the woods, and go off and leave it, and it grow and bear fruit. Come back a couple of 3 years later, and expect any fruit. It will not survive. It cannot and it will not survive on its own. It has to have continual care. That's touching to me, friends. He compares us to infants or newborn babes, that we should desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. That we are compared to so many things, but all of them require continual care. And I say that in a little study this week and studying the grapevine. Sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break it off? I'm good at that stuff. Excuse me. Yeah, that's right. I need continual care. All right. Amen to that. Now, where was I? There's something I studied this week that I thought was very interesting. In the gathering of the grapes, and of course, we've got all stainless steel and electric motors and electric presses. We've got it all today. But back then, they made vats of rock. They would have tubs of rock, vats of rock. And then they would have all the liquid flowing out into one into another vat. And they would collect this juice off of these grapes, bring it in there, cut the clusters of grapes and bring it in and put it in this vat. And what is called, I thought this was so beautiful, what is called the new wine or sweet wine is what exudes out of the grape by the pressure of all the other grapes. What is called the sweet wine or the new wine is what exudes out of the grapes by the pressure of all the grapes. In other words, the bottom grapes with all the pressure, what is called the sweet wine or the new wine. And somehow or another, immediately my mind went to God's people that seemingly today are so few that earnestly bearing the burden of the cause of Christ. We bear on our hearts, I trust, the burdens of God's people. How we are burdened for God's people and beg God and pray to God and ask God and with supplications and prayers and intercession. And we trust that we try to earnestly and honestly give God the sweetness of His praise and so justly do His name. I trust that maybe that some way or another that's encouraging to the what seeming to be fewer and fewer of God's people who are earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That we, I hope that you bear on your hearts. Don't just you know that God's people. You know that God's people that they're God's people, but somehow or another they're distracted by the world, right. And the world has got their affections and got their attention when their affection, you know, should be on things above and not on things of the earth. Right. And we bear on our hearts those. Broken hearts, broken homes, shattered lives all over this world, and forever catastrophe that we learn about, or whether it be a personal, private, public, whatever way, forever catastrophe. Just for instance, I was at a funeral Saturday a week ago, and sister that I knew there for many years, she was telling me about a family that just went on a little vacation in Colorado. Took their family, took their camper and their six-seated four-wheeler, and just going to scout the mountains. And six of them, I believe it was in the little four-wheeler, and it ran off of an 80-foot cliff, killed two and broke the neck, and paralyzed another. Friends, that's just one among many. When the announcement of cancer to someone you know or someone that's close, maybe to yourself, just remember, friends, there's thousands in like circumstances. How that we bear on our hearts those and I trust are burdened for them and their lives. And instead of looking sarcastically, we should look on them with pity and sorrow that of what's theirs to have, and yet the world has duped them and they're blinded. Now the Lord is warning us of how to recognize false prophets and false teachers. By their fruit you shall know them. Now, a little bit about fruit and fruit bearing. I have to say that if anybody would keep, even anyone would keep an open mind and allow me to show them in nature that a fruit tree, just to plant a seed, I'm talking about the kind of fruit that we eat, the beneficial fruit. The fruit tree does not just plant a seed and it bear fruit on its own. It must go under the knife of the master grafter, and it must be grafted to be a good tree. void of the grafting, it's worthless. It'll bear fruit, but it's bad fruit, evil fruit. It's of no benefit whatsoever. If you can't see the work of regeneration and watching a horticulturist as he slices the flesh of that seedling and implants the good bud within it, or cut it completely off, align the skine up and grafted. If you can't see the work of the master grafter of the Lord Jesus Christ and regeneration in that, you're not open minded.
Right.
Friends, that tree is of itself worthless. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see someone that has godly love. I'm not talking about worldly lust. I'm talking about godly love. You see someone who's like the good Samaritan who passed by and he saw his neighbor in trouble and he bound up his wounds, put him on his beast, and carried him to the inn. With disdain, my friends, with disdain the Jews looked upon the Samaritans. But my friends, his fruit bear witness that the master grafter had done some work. Now, again, I emphasize, as Brother Dickey did a few moments ago, that fruit tree, make it a plum, make it a peach, I suppose peach is my favorite fruit, but that peach tree is not a peach tree because it has peaches on it. It has peaches on it because it was made a peach tree by the master grafter. That's like saying a sinner is a sinner because he sins. No, he sins because he's a sinner. Every seed shall bear after his own kind. Did you notice this? That Adam was created in the image of God. But after the fall, I'm going to fool around and knock this thing off again. But after the fall, Adam bear after his kind.
Yeah.
Notice that? Every seed bears after its own kind. Now, if you plant an evil seed and expect to get good fruit out of you, I can save you some time. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Now I realize that there's certain trees that we can, certain plants that we can root, etc. But an evil tree cannot. Not that it will not. I've never found it profitable in my experience in horticulture. I've never found it profitable to water a dead tree. I can put all the water you want to on it, and it's still dead. And if our righteousness is as righteousness is, or as filthy rags, say what you may. You can wash a dirty rag, but you can't wash a filthy rag. You can wash a dirty rag, but you can't wash a filthy rag. Our righteousness is are as filthy rags in his sight. An evil tree, water it, though you might water it, you put all the water you want to on it. If it's dead, it'll never bear any fruit. If it's alive and the master grafter works on it, it's alive. And by the way, when I used to supply to the grafter out in the field, if we got a 60, 70% live, 75% live was an outstanding success. But my friend, the master grafter that I'm talking about, gets 100% live every single time. And that fruit on that tree doesn't make the tree makes the fruit. Now, I'll just throw this in, friends. If you have a tree that is stubborn, that it will not bring forth fruit, that it's stubborn, it's capable, the graft took, it's capable, but it just will not somehow or another bear the fruit like it's supposed to, you know what you can do? You can wound that tree. You can take some wire and put around that tree and start twisting off the life source, which is in the flesh. You can start twisting off its life source and make it think it's going to die, and it'll begin to put off fruit. Most of the time, it'll start putting off fruit. That's the way God's people are in many cases. If somehow or another, we have to see our, as the saying goes, my life flash before my eyes. Okay, God, I'll straighten up. A fruit doesn't make the tree. The tree makes the fruit. The master grafter makes the tree. Okay? Now, beware. Beware of false prophets. See, he uses the, I don't know if it's called a metaphor. I don't know a lot about these things. But he uses the metaphor of sheep in wolf's clothing. Reminds me of an elder. I was talking to an old elder one time, and he asked him, he said, well, how do you tell a false prophet? Or how do you tell a wolf in sheep's clothing? And he said, well, that's very simple, son. Just look at his tracks.
Yeah.
Watch his tracks. It'll bear evidence whether he's a wolf or a sheep. Their tracks are quite different. If you've ever been out in nature and saw the tracks, they're quite different. But just remember this. An evil tree doesn't bring forth good fruit. And a good tree doesn't bring forth evil fruit. By wherefore, emphasizing again, wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If you see someone bearing the love of God, as again, the Good Samaritan, he gave evidence. He gave evidence. If you see one that has joy in his heart, and it's amazing, you see people like that, and as Brother Dick, he hadn't lost hold on the Word, the promises, the truths of God's Word. He hasn't lost a grip on them. That person has joy in his heart. He's bearing the fruit of joy. He has peace because he knows of however bad the news might get, however bad it might get, he knows that peace within his soul, that it's all under the control. It'll never be. God will never lose control.
Amen.
God doesn't experiment either, friends. He's not wondering how things are going to turn out. Now, if God had to wait to see what I was going to do before he could make his decision, is that not a fickle God? God, wouldn't he change his mind? Prior state was here, but something happened and now the next state is here. He changed his mind. That's a fickle God. It's not out of control. Not out of his control. It'll never be out of his control. My friends, he's had a purpose and he's had a plan from the outset. Though our adversary tried to thwart it, he's been unsuccessful and he will be unsuccessful until the end, until he himself, death and hell, shall be cast into the lake of fire. That's a promise from a God that cannot lie. And just as sure as death is life. Now death we see every day. Death we experience every day. Paul said, I die daily. I'm in death so often. And the sorrow of the world worketh death. There's death everywhere. Physical, corporal, all kinds of death that we see. It gives evidence. You know, visual aid. I had a plumb bob hung in the pulpit for a while. I don't have it there now, but I got it right handy. A plumb bob, it's such a visual aid that there is a such thing straight up and down.
Yeah, right.
There's vertical and there's horizontal. It's always been that way, and it always will be that way. Some things don't change. God doesn't have to wait and see what your response is before he makes a decision. He has purpose from the very outset. And I'll promise you nothing will thwart his purpose whatsoever.
Amen.
Our adversary, the devil, oh, he's tried. And if you'll let him, he'll reap havoc in your life. He will. He'll destroy the peace that's yours to enjoy.
Yeah, that's right.
But he can never rob one of God's children from the fold of God.
Amen.
He is the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. And just remember this, A lot of us can't get this in our minds, especially overzealous people. And I appreciate zeal, but you got to be careful. Overzealous people want to drive sheep. You cannot drive sheep. They can only lead. You lead sheep. And as I hope that I finally got into the head of one of my friends, pastor, you can only lead your flock as fast as the slowest sheep.
That's right.
That's as fast as you can go. If you're not gonna go off and leave him. Zeal is good. Zeal is good. But don't try to drive sheep. You'll scatter them every time.
Amen.
Being raised on a cattle farm, I know a little bit about cattle. But you can't use the cattle mentality on sheep.
That's right.
It will not work. Now sometimes, I guess I maybe go too slow. Maybe I'm prone to not act soon enough, but I just hate to see God's little lambs scattered.
Yeah.
Cautious. I'd rather be overly cautious.
Amen.
And always look, I always look for the little hint of that attention of that little lamb back to the fold. I understand if this is true, that in shepherd country, sometimes a shepherd would take some of his most devoted lambs or sheep, and for the stubborn sheep that would never listen to him, come back to the fold, he would take them out and leave them with the stubborn sheep for a while, and they would begin to lead them back into the fold. Now, that'll work. For you diligent, think about those that have been duped, distracted by the world. Go bring them back. When I first moved to where I am, pasturing today, a lot of sheep had been scattered. But some of the faithful few began to go out and report good news, and they began to come back in. And I think, if I remember correctly, something like 12 or 15 were restored back, come back to the fold.
Yeah.
That have been scattered and duped by the world. My friend, false prophets, false teachers are real. This is not just a poetic saying. They're real. And if you were a counterfeiter, I would make a counterfeiter because my wife gets worried when I say that's good enough. We're building a house. Well, I said, that's good enough. It may be good enough for you, but it's not good enough for me. In fact, she went around with her own tape measure and her own level. Her own tape measure and her own level. It wasn't good enough. It might be good enough for me, but not good enough for her. I wouldn't make a counterfeiter. But a counterfeiter, the closest you can get to the original, the more people you'll deceive. That's the ones we have to be cautious with. It sounds good on the surface, but keep following. Get your magnifying glass, and look at it real close. Is it counterfeit? Is this person trying to dupe me? Anything outside of God completing His intent is counterfeit. Anything that says that God's plan will be thwarted, that would change God, is counterfeit.
Yes.
It's false.
That's right.
Now, I read about some people that is spoken of trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. That's quite different than something about a fruit tree, again, peach, a tree loaded down with good, delicious fruit. How it's appealing. Your praise. Don't discount your praise. Don't discount your prayers. Don't discount your dedication. As feeble though as it may seem, and as outnumbered as somewhat we seem like sometimes that we are. Friends, It's in those times and days gone by that God has shown His glory the greatest. In the fewer of time. That's not, I believe it was it Jonathan that says, God is not limited by many or by few. It could be very well be that we're seeing, as it were, Gideon's army being hewn down. And God's going to show His glory. We don't know what God has in plan for. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we do know who holds tomorrow. God holds tomorrow. And if we have a tomorrow, He'll give us the grace that is needed for whatever that day may bring. Grace, He is the supplier of it all. He's the God of all grace. I thank You so much. May God bless you.